Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly things. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted his testimony has certified this, that God is true. He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has placed all things in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but must endure God's wrath." I think it was Carol Houselander who said that desire itself enables you, prepares you to receive what you desire. And that quotation comes to mind in this season when we read in the Acts of the Apostles the account of life in the very early church. There was a fraternity, there was a conspicuous unity of heart and unity of purpose among the early disciples. Their mind and heart were set on preaching the message of the Lord Jesus, raised from the dead by the Heavenly Father of us all. And their one desire, well, apart from the total unanimity among themselves they wished for, and the total union with the risen Lord, their one desire was that the message that made sense to them and helped make sense of their lives might be shared, might be understood sufficiently to be accepted by more, by all in fact. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life," the evangelist John quotes Jesus of Nazareth as saying. We are reading once more the extraordinary tale of Jesus' ministry and his preaching tours in Judea and in Galilee, but we're doing so in the light of Easter now. We're doing so with hindsight of knowing of the resurrection appearances and their impact on the disciples. So was the evangelist doing, mind you. Indeed, much of what we read in the Gospels, while originating in Jesus' day and in the evidence of those who heard him and joined forces with him as disciples, was written down much later, its final editing taking place a generation, if not two, after the crucifixion of Jesus. But it is written with ink that has itself been dipped, as it were, in the blood of Christ, with ink that knows the intensity of Jesus' dedication and the extent of his suffering. Desire enables us to receive what we desire. What then is our desire? What is it within us that can enable us to be blessed and nourished from on high? On one occasion in the Gospels, seeing a man who was paralyzed and had been for some time, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" Silly question, certainly not. What was required here was only that scintilla of faith, of hope, and of imagination that could see his life taking a different route from the daily hours of waiting for some help from passers-by. He showed that hope, that sense of imagination that things could be different, and the result was a Jesus-inspired rising to his feet. A new life, if you like, a fresh path was now possible. A new default position was now enabled. A vision that only new glasses permit was now amazed at the future's uncertainty, the future's excitement. He could wipe the tears from the eyes of his heart, tears of joy, and set out, leaving the tearful witnesses behind and taking to the road with Jesus, or at least the road that would offer him an audience as he recounted what the Lord Jesus had done. The responsorial psalm in today's liturgy has this line: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, those whose spirit is crushed he will save." And texts like this are not merely history lessons, not merely accounts of the Lord's generosity to generations long past. No, they provide a headline and perhaps a sat-nav for you and me. You and I are struggling to take the belief of the resurrection of Jesus into our daily conversation. We're hesitant, but we'd like to reach out with Thomas the Apostle to touch the wounds, not of Jesus, but of his brothers and sisters who live with us, who perhaps share the house we call home, who work as our colleagues, or cut the grass in the lawn next door to our home place. Let us then draw near this Easter time and all our lives to those who perhaps are not even aware that they are sisters and brothers of Jesus or ours. Let us bring resurrection faith into our moments of listening and our hours of jointly working. If our desire can be allowed to dance, to grow and to spread, then we will not fear the opposition of Sanhedrin or the dismissive looks of those who thought they knew us, but are now seeing a new faith-inspired person. We will speak the name and teaching of Jesus in the hearing of all who have ears to hear. We will thus grow closer to our own destiny, closer to that gateway that leads to resurrection.